Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan's girl, Matt Wilhelm, here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. And Art Briles, the Baylor coach, stopped by at practice yesterday to check in on some of his former stars there. And here's what he had to say about Robert Griffin III.
Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, no, he's the guy. I mean, you saw him today. I bet his completion rate was probably in the low 90s. Didn't have a turnover. You know, really executed well. So it's going to be a very exciting year for the Cleveland Browns.
And then Briles was asked about Corey Coleman.
You don't think he's one of the best to ever put on Browns uniform? But that guy's special now. He's dynamite in the package. He's tough, he's explosive, and he's a fierce competitor. And that's really kind of what sets him apart. He loves to win.
Briles clearly happy with his former Baylor guys. RG3 Corey Coleman was also asked, what advice did you give to Josh Gordon?
He needs to lose a little weight, but he knows that. The thing about Josh, he's just still young. He's 25 years old. You know, he graduated young from high school, and, you know, he's had his journey, and we've all, you know, had our trials and tribulations, and, you know, we'll judge at the end of the day. And that's what I always said, because Josh is a sweet, sweet spirit, a good person, and, you always got to hope the best for people. So I'm anxious to see the next phase of his journey.
Very interesting.
It is very interesting.
And I think that, he knows these guys probably better than we know these guys because of the intimate setting of being their head coach and recruiting them to Baylor and so on and so forth, that he knows of their family and he knows of, you know, probably some of the skeletons in their closet that, you know, they are not all squeaky clean.
Sure.
But to have them all in one place and succeeding in the NFL to a certain extent has got to be, you know, very gratifying for him.
It's got to be gratifying for him, and he's a guy that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's seen his players coming, turn that program around. He's had his ups and downs there, clearly, and now out of a job. But Art Briles, a guy, probably will land on his feet somewhere because of what – look at the number of pros that have come through his system and thrived in the National Football League. All right, let's bring in our producer, Matt Fontana. Fontana.
Gentlemen.
It's time now for a little after, further review.
After further review.
All right, question number one for you guys. Give us one player who Browns fans might not know, but they really should after 5 days of camp.
I'm going to go with, and I don't know, hopefully I'm not stealing yours, and we've made mention of him. Actually, you've made a significant mention of him, and it's one of Al Saunders' favorites, and that's Ronnell Hall. He is a guy that, even prior to putting on the pads, was playing like a wide receiver that was going to make this roster. And I don't think, although all the wide receivers, you know, out of practice are winning consistently, Ronnell Hall is a guy that kind of has the eye of Al Saunders and a guy that continues to work and make plays every day.
I'm going to go with Connor Hamlett, the 6'7 tight end who has stood out early in camp, probably somebody that nobody had heard about. And to be honest, I thought he was a camp body, that he was here to, you know, fill his role, but he has taken that opportunity and he has certainly made the most of it. Very impressive early. There's a great article going up on ClevelandBrowns.com as well called Chasing a Dream, Connor Hamlett Turning Heads in Training Camp by Patrick Max. So you can check that out. It's a recurring series on ClevelandBrowns.com that profiles the rookies and other overlooked players on the roster. Connor Hamlett from Oregon State is a guy to check out right now.
After further review.
All right, guys, I need one player whose stock is up and one player who needs to step up.
One guy whose stock is up, and I'm sure we're going to be in the same accord here, but Corey Coleman. We, as Browns fans, have been disappointed by the, and in some cases jaded by the expectations of a first-round pick, but we haven't got immediate impact from those players. You and I are both in the same page that Corey Coleman is special. We just heard that from Art Briles that he's special, and I believe he's going to be very special this year and beyond. A guy that needs to step up. And it's not simply because, you know, you can't make the club in the tub, and I know this guy will make the tub. I think, you know, I'm looking forward, and it's someone I just mentioned, to Joe Hayden. Getting back out there, stepping up, assuming that alpha role on this defense to be, you know, to back up his words with his play and to get healthy and allow this defense to open up that playbook and be as great with Ray Horton, you know, dialing things up as I think they can be.
So my guy whose stock is up is, I'm going to say, Isaiah Crowell. Love what I have seen from him. I think that he has been fantastic early in camp. His conditioning, his performance have all been where you want to see him to have a breakout season. My step-up guy, there are a few of them. I'm gonna throw a couple names at you. Xavier Cooper needs to step up because of the injury to Dez Bryant. Same with Emmanuel Ogba, drafted 32nd overall. And then Justin Gilbert. I got to see more and more consistency from Justin Gilbert for this team to get where it wants to be.
After further review.
Give me one word to describe Robert Griffin III thus far, guys.
Improving. I think every day, even as I said a couple days ago, that Robert might know in the back of his head, as Hugh Jackson said, that a decision will be made very soon. Robert's coming out working like a number one who was hungry to revitalize his name amongst the 32 NFL quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't really think they're improving is an absolutely great word for what he has done thus far, and I'm going to say impressive. I am day by day that goes by, and again, he's got to play and he's got to stay healthy, but I am becoming more and more what I would say cautiously optimistic about Robert Griffin's time here with the Browns, that it could be longer than maybe originally anticipated.
After further review.
Final one, guys. I'm going to make it a lot easier than how Gibbs typed it out with last year's draft pick. Which second-year player do you expect to make the biggest jump this year?
I'm going to go with two. And I think they're the ones that probably made a splash slightly last year, and I expect to have a larger role. And that's going to be first-round draft pick Danny Shelton, finally playing a nose position, as we talked yesterday, where he's taking on that double team. He's not going to have to make the splash plays that we might expect out of a first-round pick, but to own the middle in this defense and allow those linebackers to be the stars. And then I expect Duke Johnson. Duke Johnson in his second year got a lot of touches, probably more touches through the air out of desperation because of how bad we were as an offense, that now he's going to be able to be featured, you know, as a Reggie Bush, as a Percy Harvin role in this offense to really scare defenses. And I think he's going to have a heck of a lot more touches on the ground as well.
All right. So for me on this one, year ago draft pick stood out the most. Got to go through that class from last year in my head very quickly.
Would you like me to pull up the...
Shelton Irving, Orchard, Xavier Cooper, Duke Johnson.
Wilhelm's got them all.
It's probably got to be Duke then for me, because I think Shelton's doing what he does, and by doing what he does effectively, he's not standing out. Cooper's learning a new position. Cam Irving, I don't think has stood out, which is, again, I think means he's doing his job well at center and has been very, very good. Duke Johnson shows those flashes where you go, man, this guy could absolutely be special, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
I'll give you guys one other one, too, because I hope this guy really plays well this year. Ibrahim Campbell. If he starts and if he's going to be a guy that –
he's a good one.
I really liked him on special teams last year, and I think he can be a really good safety, so I hope he steps up. And so I was one quick question and completely off the side. Does it really matter between him and Poyer which one plays strong and which one plays free? Can they both do that? Like, I know Raheem Moore is more of a free, but can Poyer and Campbell go back and forth between free and strong?
I don't believe – I mean, maybe they can, but I don't think you want them to answer your question, because if you saw the two individuals standing next to each other, you can, by size and stature, go – he looks like someone I want to make a lot of tackles in the box, and he looks like a guy that I want in the middle of the field catching all those overthrows the way Tashaun Gibson has over the last couple years.
So Poyer free, safety,
Poyer
Campbell.
Free, Campbell strong.
If you remember this defense in the year that it sent T.J. Ward to his first Pro Bowl, this is a defense, Ray Horton's defense, it favors more of a box safety and more of a coverage safety. And Tashaun Gibson also thrived under this defense. And so you've got Poyer – and right now, I see, and then you've got Raheem Moore and Derek Kindred. So you've got two guys that are more thumper, box safety type guys, and Campbell and Kindred. Not to say they can't cover, but that is, you know, an interesting part of this defense. You know, last year I think they wanted him to be more interchangeable. It really wasn't the case with Witt. But I think that at the end of the day, they don't want to have him. And to take your question, by the way, one more step of the draft picks from 2 years ago, who has impressed me the most? It's Christian Kirksey.
Yeah, no doubt.
And I think he has evolved and looks comfortable, looks like a man, playing fast, playing physically, and looks to me to be on his way to a big season. You said yesterday, I believe you're expecting 100-plus tackles from Kirko in this defense.
Yes, a starting weak inside linebacker in a 3-4 defense should have 100-plus tackles because everything is being funneled to you. I mean, like I said, DeMario Davis might very well go over 100 as well.
Sure.
If he can play 16 football games because of the player that he is. But DeMario's your thumper. Kirksey's your cleanup guy.
And there it is. From a man who knows, who's done it, folks. For more than a cup of coffee in the NFL, you erroneous jabrones. We'll be back with more CBD. We're going to dip into our mailbag. Fontana, busy. It's like he looks like Santa Claus. There's so much mail in the mailbag right now. We'll be back with that right after this, and we'll take your calls as well if you want to hit us up, 216-578-0850 on CBD.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. We bring in Matt Fontana to get into the mailbag.
So again, you guys can tweet at Browns_daily, at Nathan Zagura, and then at Matt Wilhelm. Which one is it, Matt? 35?
35.
Matt Wilhelm, 35. I have to unfollow the other one, unfollow 35. You could also use the hashtag AskCBD. That's what Ben did. We just talked about this, guys, but he wants to know, how are the safeties looking with Gibson and Whitner gone? We talked about the positions, but how are Campbell and Poyer looking?
I have actually, and I'll speak of Ibrahim Campbell, pleasantly surprised from what I see out of Ibrahim Campbell, and that's with his ability to stick his nose in there and make a play as he fits on run situations. And then also as he's, you know, as I continue to watch one-on-ones, you get the wide receivers, but you also get the safeties covering tight ends. And I've been pleasantly surprised by his ability to hold his own amongst the tight ends as well.
I can tell you from talking to the coaches here, Ibrahim Campbell's a guy that caught their attention that they're very pleased with. I think Raheem Moore and Poyer is more of a battle than Campbell and Kindred at this point. Jordan Poyer has been excellent, a guy that I've always wanted to get a shot. He was in my original Fab Five my first year here, is a guy that I thought stood out and somebody who has natural instincts. Raheem Moore made a nice play yesterday. We'll see what happens there. But that's kind of how the safeties are shaking out, and I think you're pleased with them. I don't know that we have – I think this defense lends itself to having a dominant ball-hawking free safety. I don't know if Jordan Poyer can become that guy or if Raheem Moore can recapture that. I mean, that's what he was drafted to be
right
in the second round out of UCLA, but that's something certainly to keep an eye on in this defense. By the way, Cam from Canada driving back wanted me to give a shout-out to King Dolo and Bailey. So there you go, Cam from Canada. Thanks for listening as he's driving back from the mountains. So shout-out to Cam and his peeps. All right, what else you got, Fontana?
This one comes from Chris. He asked, guys, will Josh Gordon be allowed to participate in preseason games?
Yes. That's it. Yes, he will.
That's it? Yes? Okay.
Yes. It's the answer. It's just a yes or no question, really.
I don't know if you're going to expand on it. This one's from Paul. So it's kind of a long question. So think about this. Paul Kruger, Manuel Ogba, Nate Orchard, Carl Nassib, those four, let's say they all play 16 games. Paul wants to know if they can get 35 sacks or more as a combo.
It's basically averaging 9 sacks a guy. I think that's a wee bit aggressive.
What most likely, here's the way it's going to – you're going to have one guy go double digits, and we'll say 11 or 12, right? You'll have the guy opposite him getting the most reps, probably be, we'll say, 8, okay? Now you're at 20. And then the other two guys are probably going to have somewhere between 4 and 6 each.
So that'd be 30.
Correct.
I think 35, I think that's just a tall mountain to climb. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we weren't much north of that if we were north of that at all last year for our total sacks.
You're talking about
as
a team?
Yeah.
We had, 2 games? I think we had like 18 or 19 for the season.
No, we had 18 in like 2 games. The Niners game and –
Okay.
Let's see. I'm going to look it up right now. But go ahead. All right, next.
Yeah, while you look that up, Joey C. wants to know how Cody Kessler has been looking, guys.
Cody Kessler's been good, and I think, you know, Nathan's synopsis on Cody Kessler, went in 7-on-7, and you know, I guess the non-team scenarios and one-on-ones, he throws the ball accurately. He throws a catchable football. It doesn't quite have the velocity that Josh McCown or RG3 does, but you can tell that he is a rookie if he were not wearing a nameplate or a jersey number. When he takes snaps under center in team settings, he's a little jittery, a little inexperienced, doesn't quite know where to go with the football or in the timely fashion that Hugh Jackson and his offense will want the ball released.
So this is what I thought. I thought we were right around 28 last year. We had 29 sacks last year. In fact, there were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 teams that didn't even have 35 sacks as a team. So do I think that those guys are going to get there that quickly? No, but I do think if this defense lives up to its potential, lives up to its hype, and gets the job done, that you have an opportunity for this team to do a little bit better, certainly in the sack department, than it did a year ago, which is really, at the end of the day, what we're hoping for, improvement, right? To get from 28, and what I think we need to get from 28, I believe that we need to get all the way up into the mid-30s, put us in the top half of the league. 38 sacks on the season would put you tied for 14th in the National Football League. So I believe that that is something that the Browns, that's where they need to get.
Yeah, even more realistic, I think 20 of those sacks should come from your outside linebacker group.
Yes.
20, okay? I would say 8 should come from your inside linebacker group.
Yeah, you're going to need middle dog cross.
Middle dog cross. I think maybe a speckling, say 5 or less, will come from your DBs,
yep.
Corner blitzes, safety blitzes, so on and so forth. So there's 5. So we're at 32 right there. And then you got to figure, I haven't counted the defensive line. And amongst the defensive line, if you get Ogbot 5 technique, he would count down there. John Hughes, Xavier Cooper, Danny Shelton. Say 8 to 10 there. So you're at 42. 42 would have put us where last year?
10th, tied with the Cincinnati Bengals.
There you go.
So, I mean, those are the goals. Are we saying they're going to get there? No, but those are the goals. And if this team can be better against the run, guess what? You get to be in more third and long situations where you have more opportunities to actually get to the quarterback. All right, Fontana, what else you got?
This one, I'm going to combine a couple questions from Tony and Brian. He said they want to know, how do you guys think the wide receiver competition is going to shake out? And then Brian wants to know about Ricardo Lewis and Jordan Payton.
So it'll be interesting. It'll just be a matter of if they keep 6, if they go all the way up to 7, which I guess could be possible as I try to go through the 53 myself. But I'm guessing they're going to keep 6. And the way that I see it shaking out right now for me would be, again, Gordon's not going to count at the beginning. So let's talk about the 6 guys that would play week 1. For me, I think you got Coleman, Higgins, Ricardo Lewis. I think that you've got Hawk, Ronnell Hall, and I think Terrell Pryor is a lock to make this football team. That's right. I believe Terrell Pryor is a lock, L-O-C-K, to make this football team. Those would be the
spell
6
it again.
Right now.
There's no Q in lock?
L-O-C-K. If you want to do it the Scottish way and say L-O-C-H, fine. I don't care. Terrell Pryor is going to be a Cleveland Brown, barring injury. He is going to make this football team. I think they've got – you've seen his development as a receiver, plus all the things he can do for a creative coach like Hugh Jackson, and there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to make this team. So Marlon Moore certainly in the competition, Taylor Gabriel in the competition, Darius Jennings has played very well. He's in the competition, but ultimately these are going to be the tough decisions, and I know that they're very proud of the progress that's been made in that wide receiver room and the performance through 5 days, and still much more training camp and preseason to go, but – I believe that's what they're excited about right now here, and that's going to be tough. If you had to do 6 right now, not counting Gordon, who are your 6? I think Jordan Payton's obviously, but what about Jordan in the competition? But I think he's a guy that right now with that time off, he came in behind, and I think he's just going to need a little time to adjust to the speed of the pro football game and might be a practice squad type candidate.
I would go
early.
Coleman. I would go Coleman, Pryor, Higgins, Hawkins, Ricardo Lewis, and probably Ronnell Hall.
He's been doing it. He's got to keep doing it because he is Ronnell Hall. And, you know, Marlon Moore is another guy that, you know, you talked earlier about the linebacker position that Chris Tabor could go bang the drum for and say, no, we got to have this guy. One of those guys could very well be Marlon Moore. Got to have Marlon Moore, one of the best gunners in the National Football League.
If Ricardo Lewis can become our 22-year-old Marlon Moore, he comes at a discount. He is drafted by this regime. He'll play a limited role offensively and be a beast on special teams.
No doubt. No doubt in my mind. All right, Fontana, one more before we take a break and are joined by Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer.
Yes, this is a very good question. This is from TA, and he tweets in, guys.
Yes.
What veteran?
A veteran!
Has shined the most so far in camp?
What veteran has shined the most? I would say, to me, it is RG3. I think RG3 is shining the most. He is slowly but surely, enough so for the head coach of the football team who makes decision on who starts and who doesn't, to say a decision is coming. That happened very quickly as we're only 5 days into camp and what? A week and a half away from our first preseason game.
I mean, the funny thing is in some ways he is like not messing with people, but when you watch them do the drills and they say ones, RG3 runs into play quarterback. And then when they say twos, Josh McCown runs into play quarterback. So and I think you're right, though. His performance has made them feel that comfortable that it is his team now. I'll say a couple of third-year guys. Isaiah Crowell, I think, leaps and bounds improvement. Christian Kirksey, leaps and bounds improvement. And then in terms of a newcomer, DeMario Davis brings something to this defense and brings something in terms of attitude that I haven't seen in a while in terms of just that kind of beast in the middle of this defense that you need. So I'm excited to see how he continues to develop and perform. So you've heard our opinions on camp so far. We're going to hear Mary Kay Cabot's when we return. Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, our guest on Cleveland Browns Daily when we come back right after this.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. We go now to the Ohio Business Machines Hotline and welcome in Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer. Mary Kay, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, 5 days in, Mary Kay. Your overall impressions of the first 5 days of a Hugh Jackson training camp?
Well, I think the thing that stands out the most in my mind right now is just sort of the high-flying offense. I think I'm seeing it come together. I'm seeing RG3 snap into focus. The passes look to be on the money. Things are moving very quickly at an up-tempo pace. I've seen Corey Coleman make some spectacular catches, keeping his feet in bounds and showing that type of an awareness. There's just something about this offense, and I think that they're onto something here, and I think fans can start to get excited about it.
And Mary Kay, how much of that has to do with RG3? I know Hugh Jackson hasn't come out and said he's a starter, but he is practicing and improving on a day-to-day basis and playing like a starter and walking around and treating it like it's his offense. What are your impressions of him thus far through 5 days?
Well, from an intangible standpoint, all those things that you just mentioned, I think that those are the things that Hugh Jackson wants to see. I think that's why he wanted to wait before he named him the starter. He really wanted to see and find out once they got into training camp and the whole team was here. Is he the leader? Is he taking over the locker room? Is he winning over the players? Is he being the face of the franchise that he needs him to be? And, you know, we've all heard the story that he wasn't that in Washington. So, you know, Hugh wanted to see that for himself. And not only has he seen it, but he's heard it from a lot of the guys on the team. You can talk to guys like Cody Kessler, who has been basically mentored by RG3 this offseason. Corey Coleman, obviously, you know, looks up to him and has spent time with him. Joe Hayden's talked about how he's, you know, pulled things together with bowling events and things like that. So the reviews for the intangibles have been really, really good, and that's important. And I think that, you know, Josh McCown has also, as Hugh said yesterday, been very instrumental in showing RG3, you know, just how to be that team guy, not the RG sort of me that he was known for being in Washington. So I think that was sort of the final box that Hugh needed checked off, and I think he'll be named the starter soon.
Mary Kay, part of this has to do with RG3. Part of this has to do with Corey Coleman, who you talked about. Part of this has to do with Terrell Pryor. Part of it has to do with Crow and Duke. But I've been, you know, at, this is my fifth training camp this close with the Cleveland Browns, and I made a statement earlier today that some people got excited and some people were like, you're crazy, but this is the most excited I have been about the potential for a Cleveland Browns offense in that time, and this is the most, I would say, this is the first time at any camp that I remember the offense looking better than the defense thus far. Do you agree with that, and what are your thoughts on this offense that hasn't even seen Josh Gordon yet?
You know what? I agree with you 100%, and I've been saying it and I've been writing it lately that there's something going on here with this offense. I can see it. I've seen plenty of them. I've seen many, many, many Browns training camp offenses, and there's something really cool going on here. And yes, I agree with you 100%. And why do I say that? Well, first of all, I see a good running game. I see Isaiah Crowell running really, really hard. He never got the opportunities last year, and I think he will have 1,000 yards this year. I see Duke Johnson not only running hard, but obviously continuing to be used out of the backfield and catching passes and things like that. But then again, you look at the skill players, and you do see a Corey Coleman. You see a Terrell Pryor. We haven't even seen hardly any of Gary Barnage yet, and we have not seen Josh Gordon. So while most people that I talk to, you know, out in the community or maybe even in the business are like, oh, the Browns are going to be horrible this year. There's not that much to look forward to. It's going to be bad. I mean, you're talking about Hugh Jackson, who knows how to run a dynamic offense. And you're talking about guys like Al Saunders, who, you know, was a huge part of The Greatest Show on Turf. They're running the Don Coryell, in part, the you know, that aerial high-flying show. And the violent running game, I'm seeing it come together. And again, will it all come together right away? I don't know. But there are weapons, and there's potential to be great. And I got some guys going on that. And even RG3 has said, you know, we do have the potential to be a great offense.
A big piece of that, and someone that you mentioned, Mary Kay, is first-round draft pick, 15th overall pick by the Cleveland Browns, Corey Coleman. Just he almost seems unguardable out there amongst the wide receivers. And do you believe that he can be the type of receiver that can be a number one, even with Josh Gordon coming back from potentially from that suspension?
You know, so far in camp, he looks like it to me. I mean, that's what I'm seeing. It seems to me that he has the potential to do it. I mean, the only thing that, you know, sometimes I look out and I think, oh boy, you know, he's not the prototypical height that you would like to see. You know, you just don't see the 6'2 guy out there. But, you know, he has every other thing that you want, including athletic ability that's really standing out. So I think he can be that number one guy. Now, of course, he's going to have to, you know, really understand all the nuances of playing a pro-style offense. And once those NFL DBs get their hands on him, you know, he's going to have to make some adjustments. And you don't even have Joe Hayden out there yet. You know, Joe's going to take him to school. You know that. I mean, you know, he hasn't seen, you know, the likes of a Joe Hayden yet, that this kind of guy that he's going to see week in and week out in the NFL. But he's coming along, and I think he can do it.
When you look at this team on offense, we've talked about Coleman. We haven't yet seen Josh Gordon. But we have seen a lot of Terrell Pryor, and it seems to me he's going to be a big part of what Hugh Jackson wants to do. His, you know, versatility, being able to line up behind center, but also his improvement at wide receiver. What stood out to you about Terrell Pryor this year compared to last year?
Well, you know, first of all, we didn't get to see very much of him last year because he pulled that hamstring really early on in camp, and that was it. We never saw the rest of him. So even though I thought he could have been a good receiver even last year, even though he was so new at it, you know, send him downfield, let him jump up over a DB and catch the football. This year, you see much improved route running. You see him, you know, using body leverage. You see him being more aggressive. I saw him wrestle a ball away from Justin Gilbert yesterday. You see him using his size a little bit more. I watch him downfield blocking. He's always willing to do that, which I think is very important. And then, you know, then you see the versatility, and we can't go into too much detail about that. But, I mean, you know, I think the possibilities are kind of endless, and I think Hugh Jackson sees that. I think he's a valuable weapon, and I think that, and, you know, the other thing that I think is important is they've moved him over to the Z. And I think that's key for him because now When Josh comes back, it'll sort of be Josh and Corey kind of at the X, and then it gives Terrell an opportunity to play on the other side of the field, the strong side, closer to the tight end, and I think it opens up a lot of opportunities for him.
Mary Kay, through 5 days of camp, who's been most impressive, or not probably what player, what position group has been most impressive, and what group gives you the most concern?
I would say that the receiving core probably has been the most impressive, and of course it's easy to look good because those are the guys that are, you know, making the visible plays that we can all see and cheer for and the crowd is yelling for. But, you know, you see them coming on. You really do. And, you know, and again, it's not just Corey. I mean, it's guys like Andrew Hawkins, who's catching everything coming his way, and Terrell and some of the other younger guys as well. So I would have to say that those guys are standing out more so than any other position. And probably the position of concern right now might be cornerback.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that Justin Gilbert had a rough day yesterday, a couple of rough days. I mean, now some of the younger, like the nickelbacks, I think are looking good. I think K1's having a really nice camp, and I think
yep.
Jamar Taylor, who's also vying for that nickelback spot, he's actually been quite impressive. So, you know, there's a number of guys on this team that are trying to resuscitate, revive their careers, and Jamar is one of them, and he is working his tail off in this camp, and he believes in him. And he's made some plays, so it'll be interesting to see if he can put himself back on the map a little bit. But I think that is one spot where you look at the starting corners and you have to wonder, are they going to be 100% okay there?
Yeah, and then we've been talking about that because, you know, people say, well, you guys are so high on the offense, you know, what aren't you high on? Well, that comes at the expense of somebody, especially when the receivers continue to be pretty dominant. You know, that comes at the expense many times of the corners. I want to ask you, though, what have been your impressions of two inside linebackers, newcomer DeMario Davis and also third-year pro now Christian Kirksey?
Well, you know, I just remember a drill, I think it was the first, it may have been the first siren period the other day, where it seemed like every time I looked up, Chris Kirksey was making a big hit.
Yep.
I think Chris Kirksey has taken a big step up this year. I really do. I've been impressed with him so far. And DeMario is really showing up as well. So, but even more so, I would have to say that I've been more impressed with Chris. And I've seen Tuttle make some nice plays and some nice tackles as well. So those guys are starting to show up. And you know, I want to back up for one quick second, if you don't mind, about the whole offense thing. I don't want to make this sound like, you know, I think they are ready to be the greatest show on turf, because we know
sure,
they're going to
course.
Be, we know they're going to be growing pains. I need to make this point real quick. So much of it depends on RG3. He's
yep.
got the supporting cast. He's got the skilled players around him. He's got the running game. He's got the receivers. He's got the tight end. So much depends on RG3. I think some of it depends, too, on how Cam Irving holds down the center spot, too. That is going to be huge. So if RG and Cam can really step up into their roles, then that will make the whole thing come together.
I think that you're right, and I agree with you, and I want to make that clear, because I'm not saying when I get excited about this offense that this is a team that's going to go 10-6 this year. I think this team very well, you know, who knows what the record's going to be, but it could be 5-11. But I, at the end of the day, feel like you're going to feel better about the product that Hugh Jackson and company is trotting out on the field than you have in a long, long time, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. That I feel very confident in saying.
Well, I do too, only because, you know, when you look at last year, the first 12 games of the season, they barely ran the ball, and that puts a lot of strain on the rest of the offense. They're going to support RG3 and everybody else on this offense with a running game this year. And again, as long as, you know, Alvin Bailey and Cam step up into their roles and fill them the way they need them to, then they should be able to run the football. And if they can run the football, that opens things up for everything else. And Hugh Jackson is not going to settle for an offense that's less than dynamic and impressive and exciting, and neither is Al Saunders or Kev Hamilton. So they're gonna push the envelope here.
Mary Kay, want to appreciate say thank you very much for the time, and ask you with this final question: what are you most excited to see on Friday night, when it sounds like the Browns are just going to go out there and play football for a couple hours under the lights here in Berea?
Well, you know, again, I think it always does come back to the quarterback. And this is going to be down in and down out, siren period, an opportunity for RG3 to go out in front of a large kind of sold out practice crowd and really show that, you know, that he has come on and that he's ready to take over the starting quarterback role of the Cleveland Browns.
It will be interesting to see. I believe he will be ready. I believe the naming of Robert Griffin III is imminent. Mary Kay, thank you so much for the time, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot. You can follow her on Twitter, at Mary Kay Cabot. Of course, you can read her at Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. We'll be back with our final thoughts here on this hump day edition of Cleveland Browns Daily from Berea.
Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It's two tickets to a concert. Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in Berea. And I'll tell you what, Matt, even Mary Kay Cabot's fired up about this offense.
She is. She is. And I think it's what causes me some confusion, I guess you can say, is that while you and I go to practice, I know a little bit of something about football. You've been around the game for an awful long time. Not only here in Berea, but as your profession in understanding what, and more so than anything, what good offensive, what good productive players look like.
Yes.
Okay. Guys that can make plays, right? That's what fantasy football is all about.
Yes.
Defense is one player. Everyone else is on offense, right? That someone could go to practice over the last couple days, which you've been at every one. I've been at a speckling, you know, two or three of them. And for you to think that the offense doesn't have the upper hand at this point through 5 days, I think there's a hidden agenda by some of these individuals who just can't wrap their head around something good happening here in Berea. And I think that they just wish bad. Like, why are you here then? Why is it your job to be associated with the Cleveland Browns while it's been negative for a while, that when it's finally getting good, you just can't revert out of your tendency to write something bad?
Yeah, the typical take, and it is different, and that's why I think it is exciting. I don't know, again, and who knows if it's going to continue, but through 5 days, any other, I guess, narrative about this team other than the offense is as good as we've seen in Bree in a while and is ahead of the defense is, I would say, factually incorrect. And I would say the best player right now in camp, as I see it, is Corey Coleman.
And who's a quick second? Probably the way he's playing, maybe Isaiah Crowell?
Crow, I think. And I honestly, the way that RG3 has improved, I think, is good to see. And he's making plays. You heard it. Art Briles obviously was a little bit over the top in his praise of his guys.
Right.
But nonetheless, he's not turning the ball over, RG3. He is making some big plays on a daily basis. You know, walked them right down the field for the touchdown. So I'm excited about this offense. Do I want to see more from the D? Of course I do. But I think Joe Hayden coming back should help with what they're able to do. But hey, there's going to be – I'd love to see a day where all of a sudden, guess what? Josh Gordon's back, Joe Hayden's back, and it's like, okay, let's go.
Shut him down.
Let's get all on the field, and let's go.
And I think that's going to be when Joe Hayden comes back, or it's going to be a day that defense, you know, like lights the offense up, where knock Corey Coleman down a peg and go,
it's not going to be this easy.
It's not going to be this easy. I'm not just going to, you know, get off the line freely every time. The ball's going to be perfect. It's give him – some of the struggle now so that he realizes that welcome to the NFL moment is not necessarily when it actually matters. We don't have to make the mistake or have him learn that hard lesson in the regular season, even though he will have it happen now.
Sure. Let's do it. Go against Joe Hayden. Continue to get better. All right. That'll do it for us today. We want to thank Mary Kay Cabot from Cleveland.com, Cleveland Plain Dealer, for joining us on the Ohio Business Machines Hotline. Also, Matt Fontana getting the job done on the board as well. And of course, for Matt Wilhelm, I am Nathan Zagura saying stay tuned for the Golden Boys, and thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily
on ESPN 850 WKNR.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.